Bread is a must-have for quick sandwiches or school lunches, but Dr. John and I are also trying to be carb conscious, so we call the relationship complicated until now. Hero Bread has reinvented the breads that make our meals delicious. The bread is so fluffy, our son approves. It has a texture that rivals traditional bread, but without the carbs. Hero Bread has 0 to 1 gram of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories. Plus, it's high in fiber and contains protein. From sweet Hawaiian rolls to tortillas, we are including Hero Bread with most any meal. The tortillas make an amazing quesadilla or enchilada. They have that classic tortilla flavor, but without the carbs and sugar. Taco Tuesday never tasted so good, and they are the perfect fit for our efforts at a healthier family lifestyle. Give Hero Bread a try. Get 10% off your order at hero.co by using code HiddenTrueCrime at checkout. Hero, HERO.CO, and use code HiddenTrueCrime at checkout to enjoy your fall favorites guilt-free. While I love trying new styles, I feel like fashion changes faster than I can keep up. Not to mention, I am not a fan of dressing rooms. These are just a couple of reasons why I love renting many of my clothes. Enter Armoire. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothing for any occasion. I signed up. I took a style quiz, and they offer suggestions that best match me. So whether you're planning a date night, packing for a conference, headed to a black tie event, you have the perfect outfit without facing a dressing room with fluorescent lights. With my Armoire clothing rental, I feel brave trying new styles because I know it's not forever, just a week or a month. And my favorite thing, having someone else do my laundry when I'm ready for new clothes. Right now, our gems can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. And that is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/hiddentruecrime. That's armoire.style. So armoire.style/hiddentruecrime to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
The 800-pound gorilla in the room is that Alec is not exactly known worldwide for his even temperament. That has got to play in this investigation.
Hidden Gems, I am recording this episode here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial is officially underway here. Over 2 years after the gun he was rehearsing with on the Rust film set fired a live bullet, killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Helena's death has led to numerous civil lawsuits, a hefty fine on the production, and a broader reckoning in Hollywood regarding the use of real guns on film and on television sets. I spoke with a Santa Fe local today, my Uber driver just this morning, who only wants me to use his first name, Joe, but Joe was willing to go public. He was passionate about sharing his opinion and said it's how many Santa Fe locals feel.
First name?
Joe.
Joe. This is Joe. He is my Uber driver and local in Santa Fe. What are your thoughts? Oh, yeah. Pull over so you feel safe. They're telling you to leave, aren't they?
Yeah. So most of the locals here in Santa Fe are really upset that a man could shoot and kill a woman and not spend an hour in jail. Any of the local people that would have shot and killed somebody would have been handcuffed, put in jail for several days. He didn't have to do anything but go down to the police department and cry like a baby about what happened. Placing the blame on the ammo lady, the young lady, he seems to have placed all the blame on her. She didn't pull the trigger. He did. He still denies it, and he'll deny it till the end. So, understandably, people in Santa Fe here that kill somebody, they go to jail for a while. He didn't go to jail at all. So, this is really important to the people of Santa Fe to be sure that justice is equal across the board, no matter who you are.
So, to better understand this case against Alec Baldwin, he was both a lead actor and producer in Rust. Let's go back to the beginning. On October 21st, 2021, Alec Baldwin was practicing a scene for the Western movie Rust in New Mexico. The crew was setting up a close-up shot of Alec cross-drawing his revolver inside a church, which basically means bringing the gun from his holster on one side and crossing it to the other side of his body. But when he did this, the gun quote, went off, end quote. And I'm saying went off in quotes on purpose because depending on who you ask, some people believe just that, that the gun somehow just went off, while others argue that there is no way a gun just goes off. The bullet from the gun passed through cinematographer Helena Hutchins' upper body and struck the director of Rust, Joel Souza. Joel Souza, the director, he was injured, but he survived. Helena was airlifted to a hospital in Albuquerque, where she died. Helena was a beloved wife and mother to a young son, only 42 years old at the time of her death. She's been described by numerous colleagues as a talented cinematographer with a strong artistic vision and deep dedication to her work. She grew up on a Soviet military base in the Arctic Circle and initially studied economics in Ukraine before switching to journalism. She later attended the American Film Institute Conservatory in Los Angeles. Helena's tragic death was deeply felt in the film industry, still is, with many questioning how this could ever happen. Why were live bullets even on set? How did they get there? Why was the gun pointed at Helena? And what was going on the set of Rust? What we now know from numerous reports and witnesses is that the set of Rust is alleged to have been a nightmare for safety standards across the board. After the shooting, law enforcement found additional live rounds on the set. Some were even in Alec Baldwin's gun belt, and others on the prop cart. The day before the shooting, several members of the camera crew quit the production over working conditions. In an email sent to the production leaders on October 20th, 2021, Lane Looper, a camera crew member, cited safety concerns as one reason for his resignation. He mentioned that during the filming of gunfights, quote, things are often played very fast and loose, end quote. And he noted a lack of safety meetings and an additional 2 accidental discharges of weapons loaded with blank rounds. The email also included complaints about paychecks and housing. In response, so after the shooting, about 24 cast and crew members signed a letter together, which Alec Baldwin actually shared on his Instagram, stating that, quote, the descriptions of Rust as a chaotic, dangerous, and exploitative workplace are false, end quote. New Mexico's Occupational Health and Safety Bureau issued the movie production a $136,793 penalty, stating the company showed, quote, plain indifference to the recognized safety hazards associated with the use of firearms on set, end quote. The production objected to the fine and settled for a reduced penalty of $100,000. Nearly 1 month after the shooting, on November 17th, 2021, the script supervisor for Rust filed a lawsuit against Alec Baldwin and the film's producers, accusing them of failing to ensure a safe set. The lawsuit claimed that in an effort to cut costs, the producers repeatedly compromised the safety of the cast and crew. The suit claimed that there were 2 previous instances of guns misfiring on set before the fatal shooting, and that the gun Alec used was, quote, regularly left unattended, end quote, during filming, along with the cart storing ammunition, violating industry standards. Alec has constantly and consistently denied responsibility for Helena's death, saying that he was told the gun did not contain live rounds and that the live rounds aren't supposed to be on set to begin with. He has also denied pulling the trigger. And he even said so in an on-camera interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos in December of 2021.
I'm handed a gun and someone declares, they said, this is a cold gun.
Dave Halls.
Oh, the first AD. In my years on the sets of film, hot gun meant that there was a charge in there and cold gun meant there was nothing in there. When he's saying this is a cold gun, what he's saying to everybody on the set is you can relax. The gun is empty.
That's what cold gun means.
Well, cold gun means there's no charge in there. There could be dummy rounds.
A dummy round looks like a real bullet, but is completely inert. It contains no explosive charge.
And you were rehearsing that scene. Was it an actual rehearsal? There's some disagreement about that, whether it was a formal rehearsal at that time.
This is a marking rehearsal where I'm going to show her. She's standing next to the camera. She's like this. You're me. She's got a monitor here. The camera is here filming that way. She takes a monitor that is his monitor, the operator, and turns it toward her. It swivels, and she says to me, hold the gun lower. Go to your right. Okay, right there. All right, do that. Now, show it a little bit lower. And she's getting me to position the gun. Everything is in her direction. She's guiding me through how she wants me to hold the gun for this angle. And I draw the gun out, and I find a mark. I draw the gun out, and I find a cut. And what's really urgent is the gun wasn't meant to be fired in that angle.
So if you're shooting directly into the camera lens, you're not aiming.
I'm not shooting into the camera lens. I'm shooting just off.
Just off.
Right, in her direction. I'm holding the gun where she told me to hold it, which ended up being aimed right in below her armpit, was what I was told, I don't know. This was a completely incidental shot, an angle that may not have ended up in the film at all. But we kept doing this, and so then I said to her, now in this scene, I'm gonna cock the gun. And I said, do you wanna see that? And she said, yes. So I take the gun and I start to cock the gun. I'm not gonna pull the trigger. I said, do you see that? She goes, well, just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that. And I cock the gun, I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off. I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
At the moment, the decisive
moment. That was the
moment
the gun went off, yeah. That was the moment the gun went off.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never. Never. That was the training that I had. You don't point a gun at me and pull the trigger. On day one of my instruction in this business, people said to me, never take a gun and go click, 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 because even though it's incremental, you damage the firing pin on the gun if you do that. Don't do that.
And Hall's attorney told ABC News that he was watching and agrees that Alec did not pull the trigger and that his finger was outside the trigger guard.
So you have this Colt 45, you just pulled
the hammer as far back as I could without cocking the actual
gun. And you're holding onto the hammer.
I'm holding that. I'm just showing. I go, how about that? Does that work? You see that? Do you see that? She goes, yeah, that's good. I let go of the hammer. Bang, the gun goes off. Well, everyone is horrified. They're shocked. It's loud. They don't have their earplugs in. No one was. The gun was supposed to be empty. I was told I was handed an empty gun. If there were cosmetic rounds, nothing with a charge at all, a flash round, nothing. She goes down. I thought to myself, did she faint? The notion that there was a live round in that gun did not dawn on me till probably 45 minutes to an hour later.
45 minutes to an hour?
Well, she's laying there and I go, did she get hit by wadding? Was there a blank, sometimes those blank rounds have a wadding inside that packs, it's like a cloth that packs the gunpowder in. Sometimes wadding comes out and can hit people and it can feel like a little bit of a poke. But no one could understand, did she have a heart attack? Because remember, the idea that someone put a live bullet in the gun was not even in reality.
Did you go up to her? Did you back away?
I went up to her, and then we were immediately told to get out of the building. We were forced to get out of the building. The medics came in. I mean, I stood over her for 60 seconds, and she just lay there kind of in shock.
Was she conscious?
My recollection is yes.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
We need an ambulance out at Bonanza Creek Ranch right now. We've got two people shot on a movie set accidentally. I'll connect you with medical dispatch.
Look, I've admitted to feeling all sorts of body discomfort, but perimenopause has taken it to the next level. I do not know what is coming next. And if anyone can relate, I recommend Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a supplement for women experiencing hormonal imbalance or those symptoms of hormonal imbalance, including those going through perimenopause, menopause, even postmenopause. I'm not the only one using it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony. They use science-backed ingredients to help with those chaotic hormonal changes that happen to many of us throughout our lives. Night sweats, feeling down, or feeling tired all the time. Hormone Harmony can help with these symptoms. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HiddenTrueCrime at checkout. That's HappyMammoth.com. Use code HiddenTrueCrime for 15% off today. Artifact Uprising is a company that John and I have used to preserve our most special family memories for years. Artifact Uprising is driven by the same belief we hold, that everyone has a story to tell, and they tell these stories through premium quality albums and prints. We purchased their signature Lay Flat album 8 years ago for our wedding album, and when our son was born, we purchased the same album again to preserve his milestones. Artifact Uprising now wants to help our gems preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want a photo to hang and display or an album with impeccable quality and design to cherish for years to come, we've trusted Artifact Uprising with preserving our most cherished memories and telling our family story from the moment John and I met. And they encourage you to tell your story too. Through the end of the year, Hidden True Crime listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers, or 15% off if you have purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code Hidden True Crime through December 31st. Healthcare often blames weight as a moral failing on the patient, but Mochi Health listens. Their founder, Dr. Myra Ahmad, saw providers use shame when discussing patients' hypertension or dismiss medical concerns due to bias and refuse to use safe and affordable medications. She changed this with Mochi Health, their mission to make patients feel heard and understood. They work alongside their patients without shame or blame and make obesity care affordable and accessible for everyone, regardless of insurance coverage. Mochi Health is a holistic approach to weight loss that includes board-certified doctors, dietitians, and medication delivered to your door, including GLP-1s like Ozempic. Get started with achievable results at joinmochi.com. That's joinmochi.com, and use code HiddenTrueCrime for $40 off. On November 11th, 2022, Alec Baldwin filed a lawsuit against the armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed and other crew members involved in Rust for negligence. The suit alleges that Hannah, quote, failed to check the bullets or the gun carefully, end quote. Assistant Director David Halls, quote, failed to check the gun carefully and yet announced the gun was safe before handing it to Baldwin, end quote. And prop master Sarah Zachary, quote, failed to disclose that Gutierrez Reed had been acting recklessly offset and was a safety risk to those around her, end quote. Alec insists that he, quote, did not know and had no reason to know any of these facts, end quote, even though he was one of the producers for Rust. Helena's husband, Matthew, and their son filed a wrongful death lawsuit against crew members and producers, including Alec Baldwin, accusing them of reckless conduct and cock-cutting measures that endangered the crew. As part of the settlement, Matthew Hutchins was made an executive producer on the film, which completed filming in Montana in 2023. And then in January of 2023, Alec Baldwin and the armorer for Rust, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, were both charged with involuntary manslaughter. According to the probable cause affidavit, quote, the evidence clearly indicates that Baldwin recklessly ignored these rules on multiple occasions, resulting in a fatal shooting, end quote. The charges also include a gun enhancement charge, which was later dropped for both Alec and Hannah. Apart from Alec Baldwin and Hannah Gutierrez Reed, one other person did face criminal prosecution. That was Dave Halls, the movie's first assistant director. Dave Halls admitted that he failed to properly check the gun on the day of the shooting and accepted a plea deal, avoiding prison time. However, 3 months after Alec Baldwin was charged, his charges were dropped as the investigation continued, but not so fast, because then in January of 2024, just the beginning of this year, Alec was charged again with involuntary manslaughter after a new prosecution team reviewed new evidence and presented that to a grand jury who ultimately indicted him. Hannah Gutierrez Reed's trial took place in March of 2024. Prosecutors accused her of repeatedly ignoring gun safety standards on set and failing to recognize that one of the rounds she loaded into the gun was live. However, her defense said that Hannah was not responsible due to the working conditions, chaotic set, constant rushing, and the overall treatment of the film crew from Alec Baldwin. In many of the videos presented at the trial for Hannah, it certainly appears to be a chaotic set. In one video that was shown at Hannah's trial, Alec is seen on camera going off script while shooting a gun after the director said cut, using some guns as a pointer-like extension of his hands, rushing the crew and cursing at them. However, this didn't matter to the jury, as Hannah was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter, but not guilty of tampering with evidence. She was sentenced to the maximum prison time for involuntary manslaughter, 18 months. Dr. John and I took a deep look at Hannah and what was hidden during her trial and police interviews. We recommend taking a listen to that podcast episode titled The Truth About Rust, What Hannah Knew. So, what can we expect from Alec Baldwin's trial? Well, for one, the prosecution plans to argue that Alec absolutely pulled the trigger, something Alec has adamantly denied. The prosecution plans to show that the gun that was used in the shooting was examined and tested by the FBI to get the gun to fire without pulling the trigger. After vigorous and thorough testing, the FBI essentially said that the gun worked as intended and implied that someone, yes, would need to pull the trigger.
In the test firing in the lab, the FBI examiners did what's called a drop test, and they broke the gun. And then they had to reassemble it to get it working again. So this goes to the issue of operability. The firearm is no longer in its original condition. This is something we can expect the defense team to make a big deal about at trial.
However, some gun experts disagree with that assessment and say it's a lot more complicated than that, particularly because of the fact that the gun was an older weapon to begin with. Remember, this was an old Western film set and older guns were being used. Many believe that Alex Roll, as not just the actor, but also the producer, makes him inherently more responsible for knowing about gun safety and crew safety in general. For example, people wonder why Alec was pointing the gun at anyone, whether loaded with a dummy bullet or empty. Gun experts point to this fact alone as the number one cardinal rule of guns. Always assume it is loaded with live bullets and never point a gun at anything that you don't intend to destroy. There's also the question of why the safety standards weren't followed leading up to when Alec was handed the gun. During Hannah's trial, it was revealed that Alec went to the gun safety training, but was blamed for being on his phone and not paying attention. Additionally, witnesses testified that Alec was rushing and yelling at the crew and wouldn't do a simple gun check anytime he was handed a gun, meaning he didn't allow the armorer or anyone to show him that the gun was empty and he didn't check himself. Actor George Clooney spoke out on this and his experience with guns on other film sets, a stark contrast to what's been said about Alec's behavior on the Rust set.
Every single time I'm handed a gun on a set, every time, Mark, they hand me a gun, I look at it, I open it, I show it to the person I'm pointing it to, we show it to the crew. Every yeah. single take, you hand it back to the armor when you're done, you do it again. Maybe Alec did that. Hopefully he did do that.
Now, fast forwarding to where we are today, as the trial is officially underway, listening to jury selection earlier today while in court, I noticed how biased many of the potential jurors are, admitting in court to having strong opinions about the case and strong opinions about Alec Baldwin. They were then pulled aside and questioned, of course. But lead prosecutor Carrie Morrissey began all of her questioning by sharing the goal of both sides to make sure they have a fair and impartial jury. Alec was in the courtroom wearing a gray suit, white shirt, and dark tie and glasses. His wife, Laria, and Alec's brother, Stephen, were also in the courtroom during today's jury selection. And we just heard that 16 jurors have been chosen and were sworn in this evening by Judge Mary Marlo Summers. I'll say that Alec Baldwin seems to have a solid defense team as they have successfully won multiple pretrial motions against the state. The biggest win by far was just before jury selection started, when the judge ruled that Alec's role as co-producer, in addition to being an actor, cannot be entered as evidence during the trial. Now, this is a major problem for the prosecution. In Alec's indictment, his role as a producer on Rust is one of the central elements of the state's case. The prosecution argued that Alec was likely aware of previous issues with gun discharges and other safety concerns on set. They also claimed Baldwin's position as a producer gave him significant role over the production, sometimes even overriding director Joel Souza, particularly on matters of firearm safety and his own training by Hannah Gutierrez-Reed. And now, all of this can no longer be argued during the trial. Hidden True Crime is invested in this case. I am here on location in Santa Fe and will be in the courthouse every day. We will be live streaming the trial on our YouTube channel, including live on-location reporting, and I will be bringing you the very latest in updates and trial summaries here on our podcast, Hidden True Crime. Make sure you're subscribed. Locals have been weighing in. You heard from Joe earlier in this episode. It's a case with heavy emotions and strong opinions. And at the core of it is the victim, Helena Hutchins, who should still be with us today, still alive today, enjoying life with her family and creating artistic films. While I continue to bring you the very latest from Santa Fe, what remains hidden within this tragedy and within this trial is our ultimate question. And our hope is greater understanding.
I think the thing that intrigues me the most is this question of whether human beings are capable of accepting something as simply an accident. And I think the reason why this case is particularly interesting in that regard is because you have a guy with a somewhat controversial history of aggression who happens to be a celebrity and a big name, and he's arguing that this is an accident, but many other people are not. Many other people see this as something that was more intentional. So, but I mean, even the state of New Mexico is saying that this isn't intentional in the sense that it's involuntary manslaughter. But still, it's serious. It's a felony, and it's something that could result in him going to prison for a year and a half or more.
Right. And that affects not just him, but his children and his family, and many people referring to the reality show that he has planned. I mean, clearly, we'll see.
It's interesting for those reasons, and I'm particularly interested to see what a jury of his peers will say, right? Like what are they going to perceive to be the main issues? Are they going to see that if they believe he pulled the trigger, does that mean he should be held accountable? Is it possible that even if he pulled the trigger, this was an accident, right? It's another look at how human beings interpret the world. I think that's what's especially interesting to me, you know, how, especially when you pull in someone who's, well, you know, an actor who's famous, right? Like what, how does that influence people's perceptions? Is a jury more likely to acquit or less likely to acquit, right? Is a jury capable of seeing this as an accident? Do we have to assign blame no matter what, especially if it's a celebrity with a history of aggression, right? I don't know. These are the questions I'm all, these are the questions I'm interested in answering.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.